Welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. I'm here today with Eagle Heart, David Ibarra, who we were on a show with last week. He popped in as a special guest at the last minute, and we had a really exciting show. And it was a little, we had some technical difficulties, and it was a little interrupted. And so I thought, I heard some great information coming from David, and I thought, boy, this would make an excellent interview, and I'd love to just do another full interview and really go into depth into what David had to say last week. So welcome to the show, David.
Thank you very much, David. I feel like I'm talking to myself whenever I speak to you.
We have a lot of similarities in the information that we have and in our ideas and concepts about the universe and life and metaphysics, and I guess we have a lot of fun talking about philosophy. So, yeah, we're definitely more of a reflection of each other than a lot of other people that I know.
That I agree. In fact, more and more of our spiritual family, that's the way I like to see them. Our family members starting to come together now more and more, and they're starting to awaken more and more, and some of them have a tendency to feel kind of lost, and that's where we come in, is not to tell them what to do or even guide them. Sometimes guiding them may push them a little more to one side than the other, where they're just kind of to prompt them, to remind them that the door that they're supposed to walk through is right in front of them. All they need to do is, and sometimes the door is even open, they just have to kind of walk through it. And that's it.
Yeah, I know. So I guess sometimes you just have to show people the door, and I'm like that myself. I ask people in our, you know, in the spiritual community and our groups for suggestions all the time. I think life is very difficult, and we all need guides, living guides, as well as our higher guides, our spirit guides. I mean, and our spiritual community, our connections, and our network are vital, I think. In life, our support networks, I should say, for everyone, whether it's, you know, ours or wherever you are in the world, wherever you connect with, to help you get through life. So I'm very grateful and appreciative to you and everyone in my life. So I think that's an important place to start from, too. Well, just like last week, you were talking about starting from the heart and everything starts from the heart. But I guess before we even get into that, you should maybe just talk about your background and experiences so everyone knows who you are. And do you prefer to be David Ibarra or Eagle Heart? I'm not sure exactly which name you like to go
by. At one point, it mattered. Now it just doesn't matter anymore. I mean, that's
I know exactly what you mean.
Some people come up and in the regular world, for lack of a better word, and there is no such thing as regular world, but in more of my career, I'm known by David. But when I talk to my spiritual family members and so forth, even though they see me as David and so forth, they've been seeing me as Eagle Heart, or they've been seeing me as my previous incarnation as Thoth. But I keep reminding them that it's not the messenger that's important here. It's the message. It is the message that resides within the heart of everyone. And this awakening that is currently going on right now is the message. When they awaken to this light that is beating and resonating within their heart, that light carries a message. And within that message also carries the DNA activation to be able to begin to upgrade the actual physical body, to be able to accept more light, because light is information. And the only way you're going to be able to evolve is to be able to raise your vibration, raise your frequency of your physical body, to be able to match more of what your soul is vibrating at. And when that begins to occur, now the channel begins to open up more and more. Now you're bringing in more light, and i.e. more information, which then the body will naturally take this information and upgrade itself. So in essence, we're doing a download.
It's interesting that you just mentioned something that I had, it just clicked with me, that light carries information, which is very interesting, because light actually does carry information, just like a laser disc. Lasers can carry information. So when people talk about psychic downloads, you know, as information in our minds from the spirit realm, that's exactly what that is. That's the light entering us, carrying information, giving us information. We're receiving information from the spirit realm via light. So that's an interesting point. Technical, yeah, metaphysical.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of people out there that they're consciously looking for gurus. They're looking for masters. They're looking for someone to point the way for them, and then take the helm and lead them. And this evolutionary jump is not about that. This is about taking the responsibility for your own actions and moving forward with your chosen journey. And in doing so, that's where you begin to evolve. That's where the true magic begins. That's where we start connecting more and more with spirit. I mean, we're already connected with spirit. We've just forgotten. And this is what the awakening is about, to remember who we really are and that we're all one. But we're just seeing a reflection of ourselves within this universe. This universe is a mirror to the one universal creator. It's a mirror. But now the universal creator sees multiple mirrors, just like multiple facets on a diamond. You shine that light through a multifaceted diamond, and what do you get? You get multiple streams of light. Those separate light streams are the individual souls. And each one is having a soul and separate experience, physical experience, within a body. Eventually, it's got to go back. And when it does an upload, for lack of a better word, to the one soul, to the one universal creator. So now the universal creator is able to experience itself in multiple ways, multiple dimensions, through the individual aspects of itself in multiple universes.
I think it's
a difficult concept to grasp, but the whole process, people are awakening now and they're understanding. There's no words for it, but they just know it. And that's perfectly fine, because they'll know what to do
next. Metaphysics is difficult. I mean, it's we're in unusual times. They're very exciting times. And these ideas, they're the same ideas that come to me. They're not ideas. They're what we're experiencing. But they're even difficult for me to understand in the last few years, about the creator sort of experiencing life through us and through our eyes, and how it assimilates this information into itself, this thing that last week you called the oversoul or the master soul or maybe even the higher self. I'm not, to me, it's all these names are basically the same, I think. But last week we had Philip Collins, and he mentioned what you mentioned, that the astral realm, which I think he said is the fourth dimension, is the very reflection of the physical realm, the astral realm. And then beyond that, we have the fifth and the higher realms, which, I mean, everybody has different ways of talking about these things, but I sort of, in my own mind, a lot of times I understand these to be the same. I just have the same understanding when people talk to me about different things like this. So,
yeah, it's they're just layers. They're frequencies. The astral realm, they're just a frequency. If we were allow ourselves to allow our physical bodies to vibrate at the frequency where the astral realm vibrates, we would literally be able to move our physical body into the astral realm in a blink of an eye. But we would have to allow ourselves. We would have to be rid of whatever judgments we have for ourselves and for other people. And then the purpose. Why would we need to go into the astral realm physically unless there's a lesson to be learned? That's why
that happened to me. I did learn a lesson that way. It was an eye-opener.
I mean, that's why there's a lot of people don't want to think that there's rules when it comes to spirit and so forth, but there are rules. But the rules are much, much different than what we understand here in the physical world. They're without those, for lack of a better word, rules, there would be no universe. There would be no planets. There would be no physical bodies. There would be no souls. And the term quantum entanglement has popped up numerous times, but the mere fact that there's a physical experience or a physical body, even a physical universe, dictates that there is a quantum entanglement going on there, albeit a very, very high level, i.e. the universal creator.
When you say quantum entanglement, do you mean order? Because, clearly there's an order here, and there's a universal order in terms of how things work. Things have to work, otherwise there's chaos. We see systems here, and there are systems everywhere, and they're just passing.
Exactly. So we look at quantum entanglement as something, oh, my God, we've gotten entangled. We're trapped in it. We can't move around in it and so forth. That's not the case. Our choices creates different kinds of quantum entanglements, which eventually manifest in the physical based on that entanglement. So when the Big Bang occurred, all of our souls that we were getting ready to incarnate into the physical, in agreement with the universal creator, we all decided something. This is how it's going to be. The moment that happened, the Big Bang occurred, which created the macro entanglement. Mm-hmm. It set up the foundation. It's the matrix, for lack of a better word. It's the matrix foundation. And to get an idea of what it looks like, we all know what the flower of life is. The flower of life is the foundation for physically creating matter in this universe. Other universes, possibly the same, but I haven't been shown that yet.
No, but it's an awareness that's true.
But now look at the flower of life. Remember I shared about the multifaceted diamond?
Yes, aspects.
Exactly. What does the flower of life look like? A multifaceted diamond. Mm. And within each intersect, where the circles intersect each other, that small space, that little small space, that's where all of creation occurs. But then it also gives us an idea of what it looks like with multiverses interacting and integrating with each other. That's why we're able to move from one physical experience into another physical experience. For instance, in one universe, you may be experiencing cancer. But if you truly choose and you truly let go, you can move into another universe exactly like how you are, but where that cancer doesn't exist. And the way you can do that is through the intersection. Think of it as a wormhole.
Yeah, all right. You mean where they converge?
Exactly.
The universes. Exactly. I received something once. I had looked it up in a book that I wrote a few years ago, and they called it an angling edge. And it's sort of where it's almost like a mathematical formula is created where these spheres converge, I guess. But anyhow, that's just deep metaphysics. But I due to understand what you're saying.
Well, exactly. That we have we as humans, or even any sentient beings within this universe, we tend to look at spirituality first from the scientific standpoint, and eventually we move into the spiritual and realize, hey, they're one of the same.
Yeah.
When you're outside of time space, it's the opposite. We see it from a spiritual standpoint, and then when we go from the macro into the micro, then we start seeing mathematical computations, calculations, formulas, and so forth. So the more dense we move into, the denser the universe gets, the more mathematical it gets. So when we literally start moving away from the micro to the macro, we start to understand more from a spiritual standpoint.
Yeah, maybe this is why, years ago I had so many downloads about theories and the names of the theories and the deep metaphysical aspects of it all, and I don't talk about that as much, and because I just have an understanding now when people talk about these concepts what you're talking about, and I don't really need to go into depth. And my mind actually doesn't work that way. I don't have a scientific mind anyhow, so but I guess I relate. And it, it's interesting what you're talking about when you're talking about how our minds work this way. Because once again, I know what you're saying.
It's a concept that sometimes is difficult to explain, that some of us have been allowed to try to explain in terms, and not in simple terms, and not in a way to make people think that they're ignorant and so forth. No, it's this language barrier is completely different, because the transition from spiritual to physical, it's a tough bridge to cross for many. And some of us have chosen to do that from a macro level, and some of us have chosen to be able to get that information and translate it to the micro level. So yeah, it is very difficult. But you can only discern it using your heart. Your heart is truly the bridge between this physical universe and the void that exists outside of time space. Just today, there was some information, some questions from some of the fans that are part of the virtual Sacred Circle of Nations, and we're always having discussions and so forth and sharing information with each other. And one of the questions that came through was that they were asking about, you know, what's going on now. This seems that many changes are occurring at lightning speed and so forth, and this came through from the Inuktu. That's the group that, it's a group consciousness that shares information with me, and I pass it on with everyone else. But remember back in December 21, 2012, when the Mayan calendar was supposed to end and so forth, and but right. It didn't end. Well, from a solar system standpoint, our entire solar system literally started to enter the ecliptic of the galaxy. And the ecliptic, if you're able, the best way to describe it, if you put a basketball and stand it, and then you spin it, the center or the equator of the ball, as it spins, that would send, if you were to put strings on it, it would create almost like a donut effect around the ball itself. That is considered the ecliptic. So now our galaxy, as it's spinning, if you look at it from the side, you'll see a bulge in the center where our galactic sun exists. Then everything else around it is the matter, energy, fast-flowing energy, the energy of creation and everything flowing from there. Our solar system crosses that ecliptic every so many thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And what the Mayans were talking about is the moment when everything can begin to manifest in the physical by sheer will is the moment when we enter that ecliptic. December 21, 2012 was the date that we started to enter the ecliptic of the galaxy. And that's when we started to see these changes occurring, the compression of time. But what was interesting just days ago was what was shown to me was that by entering the ecliptic, it has actually started to create wormholes of creativity, for lack of a better word. That means that we are more responsible for our thoughts. We have to be more responsible of our thoughts and feelings, because we will literally begin to create in the physical. Wow. within the blink of an eye.
It's a big responsibility. We can't be mental polluters or casual creators anymore. We really have to be reality artists and really take responsibility for the lives we manifest now. And I guess I used to talk about that quite a bit in the past.
But we also have a responsibility to create in the positive as well, too. So there's that dynamic. I mean, that what was shared by the Inuktu, and I'll say it verbatim. Currently, the solar system has entered into alignment with the center of our galaxy and will remain aligned for the next 1,000 years, approximately. Due to this alignment, there's a dynamic, energetic, and magnetic and etheric connection which is affecting time-space and creating multiple time-space wormholes. not black holes, but they're the actual wormholes, where time-space can be compressed to make it feel like accelerating. These same wormholes can provide opportunities for other multiverses to intersect and exchange timelines with each other. This will give sentient beings in both or more universes the feeling like they are in multiple places at once while still conscious. And that's the difference. Before, we could do it unconsciously. Now, this is about doing it consciously. The tribal elders of the world, all the Native Americans and so forth of this earth, and other celestial galactic beings, including the Anunnaki, have not seen this occur to this solar system until now. So all involved may not know the outcome of what's occurring now. This is why being present in the moment within your hearts is important, because the space within your heart is not affected by the external universe. The reason for this is because the space within the heart is connected directly to the universal creator who resides outside of time space.
Right.
You all are now at the event horizon and being able to jump ahead of the timeline and go into alternate timelines because the wormholes are being created due to the solar system's alignment with the center of the galaxy. And they end up saying, this is but a simple explanation. There's more to come.
Right. I actually think that's what happened to me almost 2 years ago. Just a series of events, including my high point in my awakening, where I felt that I changed timelines and I actually became a new person. But and it was really strange. I don't know any other word. But I think I need to take a quick 5-minute music break, and then we can come back to this and talk about this, just because I have to handle something. But could we just go to music, and we'll come back to this and talk more about this, because this is a really interesting issue and an idea, not just an idea. This is what's actually happening. Appreciate this. Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. I'm here with Eagle Heart, David Uriel Ibarra, special guest, and we're here talking about just about the paradigm shift and about the timelines converging and just the unusual times that we're having and how we can deal with it better, and the ascension that's taking place. And we're sort of, a lot of people say that we're at the tipping point, and we talk about this shift, and it's all very confusing, and we often talk about this on our show with other guests. So welcome back, David.
Oh, thank you for having me back again. It's a pleasure being on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We did have you last week. So you're an air accident investigator. That's your primary career, I mean, other than...
Yes, it's second. It's part of it. I mean, right. It's my aviation career. I've always been wanted to be close to the skies. That's my home. And as my life progressed from a child to an adult, that I've been showing more and more that being in the skies right now is just a micro view of what I used to do in previous incarnations. So there's always a longing to return back to the skies or back to the heavens. Movies that, like Star Wars and so forth, appear almost real because the movie Star Wars and others are literally a reflection of what has occurred. But at what timeline? We've all shut ourselves off from that to avoid focusing on the past. We're supposed to acknowledge the past for what it was, take from it the gifts that we've learned, and bring it to the present. So then we're able to address problems that are going on in the present and be able to plan for the future. If we reside in the past, we are doomed to repeat the past.
Again. You're in the past. Your consciousness is in the past if that's where your thoughts are. And if you're worried about the future, that's actually where you are. And I mean, I'm a past life regressionist, and people often ask me to do past life regressions for them. And I usually don't. I don't find it all that useful. I don't even find it useful in my life to know about my past lives, really, because we're in this life for a reason, and it's only occasionally, I guess, useful to sometimes resolve things in the past consciously, because my understanding is in this life, if we're in the moment, we're actually, we can resolve things, we can heal on other timelines and past lives and alternate lives right here in the now, in this life. And I've watched this happen in my mind and in those lives. So there's no need to actually redredge up events from past lives and try to resolve them that way. I think it's actually counterproductive.
It can be. But in the line of work that I've done as a naturopath and a energetic healer, I have seen where current physical conditions that are occurring, it doesn't happen all the time, but it depends on the karmic residue that resides within the soul, because the soul vibrates at a specific frequency, and when you incur some kind of karmic residue, an experience, that creates a frequency, and that frequency becomes integrated into your soul vibration. Mm-hmm. Now, once the soul leaves and decides to incarnate into another physical body, that physical body will carry two different vibrations. It'll carry the vibration of the physical lineage that comes with the mother and father coming together as one. Mm-hmm. There's a physical lineage vibration. So that family lineage may carry cancer, may carry psoriasis, or whatever the case may be. That can be resolved in the here and now. It mm-hmm. can. And then when you do that, you actually heal the entire family lineage. We call it a galaxy. In shamanistic terms, it's like you're doing a galaxy healing. But once you reset the physical body, let's just say to zero, now you're carrying the karmic residue and the vibration of the soul, and that also can show up into the physical too. That karmic residue in the soul is connected to the past experiences along that timeline, and that's where past regressions can occur, and could create a miraculous healing. Because a person has completely let it go.
Right. Yep, that's true. I do past life regression therapy, and I know quite a bit about karmic contracts. We've had my instructor, David Quigley of the Alchemy Institute, on here quite a few times for guest interviews. And you know, going into the past in your mind and actually into the past, you can cut those cords and break those karmic contracts and fix things that way. But I've also found that there are many other therapies and energy therapies where healing can occur in the right here in the now without going into the past either. So it's I guess it's situational, you know, case by case, like all things in life.
And that's what's going on right now. Because we've entered, for lack of a better word, we've entered the slipstream of the galactic ecliptic right now, mm-hmm. and that slipstream carries energy, light, which we know is information. So the body takes this information and begins to move through the various wormholes that have been created to move into various timelines, and literally can go back in time, heal itself, and then come back to the present moment in a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. But it's all choice. Again, be able to release judgment of self and others, and be in a place of complete receiving, complete love, and complete light, no fear.
Right. I think that's when I've seen that happen in my own life. There was one critical point where I went into sort of forgiveness, and forgiveness is a powerful healing energy. Forgiveness has an energy of its own that is incredibly healing. And I saw healing happen on multiple timelines and alternate lives for myself. So, and that was very unusual, and I'd never heard of that, never understood that at that time. So,
exactly. Right now, at this point in time, humanity has an opportunity. Let me reword this. Has a gift to be able to heal the entire human race right now, because now we're able to slip into multiple timelines at the same time and be able to heal multiple universes right now. And we're going to be since we just entered the slipstream, we're going to be, before we get to the center of the slipstream, which would be the center of the ecliptic, it'll be 500 years approximately. And then the next 500 years will be starting to move to the other end. And then we come back out and we go back into what even in the Bible calls the Dark Ages. The 1,000 years of light are considered the time of illumination, growth, prosperity. Then we go back into the time of darkness again until we come back on the other side of the galaxy where we enter the ecliptic once again. Right. It'll be another 1,000 years. So that's the cycle. But from my understanding, from what they're showing, what the Enochtu are showing me, the Anunnaki, when they first became quantumly entangled with this solar system and creating humanity, again, getting quantumly entangled, they have not experienced this ecliptic, the crossing of the ecliptic. They've been told about it, but they haven't physically experienced it. And the Anunnaki that have decided to incarnate into human vessels are starting to experience this for the first time, and they're able to share this with their human creations, which they see them as counterparts. They don't see them as a creation now. They see them as a true brothers and sisters, at least the from the family of Ea and the family of Thoth.
Can I ask you, are these the beings I channeled? I did not channel. I received spirit communication messages from beings the other night. And they're very guarded. I sense that they're, the word that I can use is cosmic administrators, and they seem to be the watchers or something. And they gave me a certain amount of information, and they see us as volunteers in the human experiment, quote unquote, and for learning and for, I'm not sure oftentimes what sources I'm connecting to, and it's not necessarily always my higher self, which is a more inspired source. So at times I do more mediumship than channeling, so the sources are not always clear to me the way it would be with you and other channelers.
For me, I don't even really see myself as a channeler. A channeler can go into this mode, into this mode where they almost like they're asleep. I'm more of a transceiver. Receive and send information out fully conscious. I can go into that meditative mode and do that, but
that sounds more like how it happens for me, I think. It's not a transmedium state for me. I just receive information.
Exactly. The Enochtu had said to me that by being in that moment, not only I can receive instant downloads and instant upgrades to the physical body, but at the same time, through the word, sends out a vibration to other people listening and can begin the transformation of their physical bodies as well. And then when they speak those same words or similar words, they in turn become the teachers and the healers for others as well. So the purpose of the Enochtu, when they shared with me, is that the name Thoth, a lot of people are beginning to resonate to the name Thoth, but Thoth is going to become more. He's already more, i.e. through the Master Soul. So, and just by being Eagle Heart, Thoth is also me. Hermes is also me as a Master Soul. But there's aspects of Thoth, the Thoth soul that exists throughout the world as well, and other universes. But the amount of attention that is to be given to Thoth is minuscule. Okay. Thoth is to take the attention off the pain, the agony, all the perceived chaos that's going on in the world, and get everybody to stop, bring them to the present moment. And when that happens, Thoth is to turn them right back around and have them look into their hearts. That's it. Okay. Their heart has their information on what to do next. Their heart has the download that they need to upgrade their physical vibration.
Well, then that's a very important message, because Thoth is certainly a name that's significant to me with what I recognize as my own past life lineage in mysticism. I know him more as Hermes Trismegistus, but anyhow, but I may not be pronouncing that correctly, but anyhow, yeah, but I understand what you're saying. And I've been learning that too, more and more, that's what the real message is. And it's not so much about the intellectual pursuits. When we talk about illumination, which has always been my pursuit in past lives, the quest for higher knowledge, in the higher worlds, you know, the Holy Grail. And this is, at this time, this is more of an enlightened path, more of a heart-centered path for us. And this is probably the first time in my lives that I've sought this path, I believe, if I'm, my awareness is correct about that. This heart-centered path, this enlightened path is something new for me. So something is really happening, at least in my life, and it seems to be happening in others. And in the world, there's a huge transformation taking place, a huge shift. Many of us seem to recognize that.
Oh, exactly. And the big message here that if anyone's going to get anything out of this interview, this radio show, is that the heart is the key to everything in business, in day-to-day life, everything. Any business that currently exists right now that was created under the old paradigm of greed, money, and so forth, is doomed to fail unless it has the capability to completely transform itself and be able to create the business coming from the heart. A heart-centered business that puts heart and people first before money, that business will begin to thrive once the evolutionary shift fully occurs. We're seeing that now.
Yeah, we are. How do you see this happening? Philip Collins mentioned both, you know, sort of an apocalyptic outview of the future, but also an ascension, and sort of that these were differing timelines, and those that don't awaken will continue on with the illusion of duality and learning through conflict, rather than people who ascend, who awaken, and who choose a more heart-centered path. Is that how you see that as well, or
what people do naturally when there's chaos going on in the world that their ego cannot process? It is so chaotic that it literally takes them outside of their ego. What is the natural thing that all people do? They go back within themselves to try to protect themselves.
Right.
They all go back to their center.
Right.
And that's where the purpose of chaos is. It's really, it's just a transition from one state to another state. So from a lower vibration to a higher vibration, to get to the higher vibration or a new paradigm, you need to break up the old paradigm. That's
sure.
Where
absolutely.
The tool of chaos is going on. But see, at the same time, it's forcing people to go back into their center. And that's mm-hmm. where the information resides. And that's why so many people are starting to awaken. They're awakening because, hey, it's been sitting there all this time. The ego has nowhere else to go. The ego has given up, but the soul hasn't. And then when the ego finally turns and looks at the heart, it'll go, oh, darn, it's been there all along.
Yeah, I think that happened to me. Chaos is just an extreme form of change, and sometimes it's very necessary, and that's what brings about the awakening, is this chaos. It shocks us into what's going on, and that sort of happened to me. What's going on? I need to start paying attention to myself, to my soul, to my heart. I'm focusing too much on what's happening outside of me. My ego is too focused on material reality, and I'm actually not seeing reality. I'm not seeing what I want to be seeing, and the changes that I want to see in my life, and who I really want to be. And I'm still doing that. I know we're all doing that. We're all working on issues, and that's okay. That's what we do. But we do need to pay attention, you know, to that inner voice, and look inside ourselves, and then make the changes that we make.
Exactly. Now, a message that I do want to share with your listeners. This came through today from the Noctu. And again, the the focus is all about the heart. They're constantly trying to get everyone to focus on the heart, because the Christos Oversoul that exists is all about the heart. Growth from the heart. That's where your information is. So what the Inuktu shared was that the heart is the key for the coming and current waves of evolutionary change, for it is the bridge between the physical and the void of potential, which the Inuktu call the nexus. The nexus is the heart of the universal creator. The human heart is the nexus within this universe at a micro level. This is where the term as above, so below derives from. Once the nexus is activated fully within your heart, the universal energy that flows from the macro nexus to the micro nexus can be used by the individual soul throughout its physical and energetic chakra systems that exist in the physical body. Just keep in mind that the label chakra is just that, a label, so humanity can understand what is being addressed.
Okay, that's interesting. I can see how that would work when we talk about as above, so below. We're talking about is the word convergence? I keep hearing the word convergence quite a bit. Is this the converging of both worlds?
Multiple worlds, multiple universes.
Yes, that's true.
That's where, if you look at the flower of life, it gives you the template.
Okay.
But see it in multi dimensions, not just two dimensional.
Yeah, it's a. Okay. Well, this was a spectacular interview, and I just think we only have 2 minutes, so I guess this is a conversation that we could carry on for many shows, and we probably will. We'll probably do this again, I'm sure. Just want to thank you so much for coming on and doing this interview on Universal Soul Love, David.
Oh, no, thank you. And again, but if I have to say one last thing, it would be everyone go seek out alternative methods to help yourself feel good. Anything
sure.
with massage, anything with reflexology, anything with energy healing. We practice all those at Avianta Health and Wellness Center, and we will always show everyone how they can help themselves through the heart.
Yep, pick a spiritual healing method that works for you. There's many, and there's many good, great teachers like yourself out there. And do you want to give your website real quick or anything?
Yes, we are at Avianta Health and Wellness Center at www.avianthwc.com. And Avianta is A, V as in Victor, I A, N as in Nancy, T E. And we're also at the Virtual Sacred Circle of Nations on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/thevscn.
Right, exactly. Okay, I remembered that. Okay, thank you so much for being on the show, David, and we will see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Take care.